Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Give Bowen a chance to be a number one defenseman? Was it to build draft capital, or was it to set up for possibly another trade?
Well, you get into these situations that you've seen around the league now that players have the right to become UFA, unrestricted free agent, in this case, a year from now. And we liked Bowen Byram a lot and wanted to re-sign him. That wasn't going to happen. And so we had to make a decision. And the deal that we had in front of us and a couple deals that we had in front of us that were too good to pass on. So we made the trade. And now we have some draft capital that we can use to improve our team, whether it's in the near future with a trade, through a trade, or by making a pick. But we'll weigh all those options until the draft time and make another decision or two.
So you made him a full offer on an extension,
and he turned it down? Oh, he didn't want to negotiate. He wasn't going to sign with us, so that didn't leave us an option to do anything else but this. Well, we tried to convince Bowen to stay. That was the first priority, and we did that. Basically, I was working on that during the whole year, because I thought his role was big on a team. He played 22-23 minutes. Only the power play time was the difference between Rasmus Dahlin, who had the most ice time on the team on D. But he wanted to get a chance to be a number one defenseman. I respect that. He has a year left before he gets to free agency, and that's when the players have a lot of power. And now you see that sometimes even 2 years left in the contract where they sort of make a power move and make it well known that they're not signing an extension, and then the more term that you have left, the better value you can get for a player. In this case, we had one more year left before his free agency, and we feel like we got very good value.
Did you give teams that were interested in talking, that you were talking trade with, permission to talk to Darren Ferris before the Wisconsin meeting?
Well, yeah, in this case, that always comes with the territory that they want to know if they can get him re-signed. And, if that didn't happen, they would have been in the same situation that we were. So that would have affected the trade. Every team that we talked to basically wanted to know if he was going to re-sign with them. So, but I'll leave that up to Chicago to talk about.
Yarmo, what's the balance now, as you guys ponder it? What's the balance between making the pick and trading the pick at number four? And that's a spot very few teams ever get in, trading into the top five.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that right now I've told all the teams that have inquired about the number four pick that we're just going to listen for now, take notes, and see what they think is the value of number four. And we value that very highly, obviously, ourselves. We know there's a great prospect available there. That's going to be 2-3 years away, or maybe even more, before they can make an impact on our team. We want to keep getting better as a team. We had an exciting year, but still disappointing at the end. But we'll gather that information around the league and see what the value is, and if we don't think it's as much as making the pick, then we'll make the pick.
What can you tell us about Lewis? Obviously, he's very big. It seems like he had a very good season last year.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of upside. He's 6'8", right-handed defenseman. He had 25 points last year, played 17 minutes the last 2 years in the league. He can cover a lot of space with his length and reach, he's come a long way. I actually love the story. He's a seventh-round pick, and he's made himself into an NHL player, which talks about his character and drive. And we talk to people from our sources about that. It's one thing we always take seriously is that you have skill, you have ability, but do you have character? Do you have that competitiveness that we're looking for in every Buffalo Sabre? And we came to a conclusion that he has all those values that we require within our team, and you know, that convinced us that he was an important part of this trade.
Gavin, is there still a chance that you could find common ground with Alex Tuck, or has he told you he's going to go to
the league? I don't think at this point that we've come to any point in our talks that would indicate that he'd want to sign with us. So I think he's moving on and getting into free agency, and now we got to look at our options of whether it's a sign and trade or if we can recoup some value now that we used him as a rental for our own team. So you know, we made it clear to him that we wanted to sign him. He was an important player for us and you know, good leader, all those things that we've talked about very many times. But sometimes when players have the power to choose, they choose differently.
How disappointing is that, given that all the way back to last July, the indication was he wanted to stay, you wanted him? I mean, what do you think changed in that period from last year?
I think that's a question for him more than me. We wanted to sign him. The one thing that I've always said that is that, you know, it depends on the contract. Obviously, with a 30-year-old player, there's risk involved. If you want to go max term, 8 years, it still is. Then there's the money, and we're tight on cap this summer because of the we have that Skinner buyout counting $6.5 million against our cap just this year. Then we'll get into a lot better situation a year from now. But the AAV counts all 8 years, so that's something that we needed to consider, is that, okay, if we sign him to a certain number, does this now mean that we have to take two or three, maybe four players off our roster to make it work cap-wise? And so that was a balancing act with our take on things. And, you know, it's he's a good player, but we have a lot of faith in our group, he's going to be missed, but we'll be fine. Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea. So now it's just looking at if we can get some asset value back for somebody that wants to sign him, and we can do a sign and trade and get at least something in return.
His departure creates a big hole in your line. So how do you address it with free agency and just explore the trade market?
We'll look at all the options, but I don't know if you know, not nothing disrespectful to Alex Tuck. He's been a great player for us, but we have a lot of good players on our lineup. And if you look at all the number of players that we have that played really well this year in the NHL, it's almost looks like I don't know where we're going to fit them all. There's 23-man roster. And you know, if you get Jiří Kulík back healthy like we expect, Hellenius came in the playoffs, played like he played 5 years in the NHL and had two full seasons now under his belt in the American League. Over a point a game last year. Ostlund played really well for us this year, gave us an indication that he can play at center full time. I mean, we have a very positive problem of we don't know where to put every player. So we have a good plan on how to replace Alex Tuck, but we're going to look at every option, whether it's free agency or trade. And but we also have a lot of internal options for the role of getting a little bit more ice time, a little bit more responsibility, a little more offensive ice time, all those things. So I think we're in really good shape.
What do you think about the leadership piece? Because, you know, Tuck and Bowe, that's two big guys in that room. How do you feel
about that? We fill that void, in my mind, is that our young players who play like leaders, like Zach Benson and Josh Doan, they grow into leaders and take that void. Yeah, we're going to miss some of that stuff with some veteran players that have been through a lot. But at the same time, we're going to grow here as a group. And those individuals showed us already in the playoffs that they're leaders by example. And now they can take some more responsibility on.
When it comes to, you mentioned being able to replace Tuck with the forward staff, how about replacing Byron Buxton?
Yeah, that's something that we're working on. That's definitely a focus right now. But we have fourth pick, we have 20th pick, so we have a lot of ammunition to explore if there's another trade that we can make. And defensemen are not easy to find. But, we've had some productive talks, and we'll see where that goes. I think we're very well prepared, led by Jerry Fortin and his staff there, whether we're picking 2, 3, 4, 5 or 20. I think they do the list very diligently throughout the year, and they're prepared for any scenario. They know this could happen. Part of the reason why we made the trade from 27 to 20 is that how our list shapes up and where we think we can get a certain player from certain group of impact that we believe those players will have in the future. So that was part of the reason. We believe we have a much better chance at 20 to get a certain player from certain group of players than we would have had if we stayed at 27. And now we got 4 as well, but we're well prepared for that.
Did you guys even interview many of those top picks at the combine? I mean, you were picking 27 at the time.
Yeah, but the draft is in Buffalo, so they're all here. So we got a couple days to do that.
Yarmo, did you have any conversations with Zach Benson? He was another player you brought up at the end of the season that you guys wanted to get something done.
Yeah, we've had great productive talks with him, so we're very optimistic that we'll get something done soon.
What was the mood, in the scouting room? You guys have been grinding away, and those guys have been on the road, and then all of a sudden they've got the number 4 pick. I imagine it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement there, but they all have the same goal as we do. We want to make the team better, so they understand all the dynamics of different things could happen, and they're aware of what the process is here when we're looking at all the options in front of us. But yes, if we make the pick, they're very excited.
Michael Kesselring, did you just get to a point where did you feel he just wasn't a fit here anymore?
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a mutual. I think we would have had a little bit more patience probably than his camp, because we still think he's going to be a good player in this league. But he's another player in that same situation that I just explained to you about, with 1 year left into free agency. If we couldn't agree on a contract and he took us to arbitration and there's 1 year award, we can't trade him. All those different things from the CBA that you have to weigh in when you make those decisions. So we thought that best for both sides was to move on.
Have you had talks with Beck's camp yet?
Oh, yeah, those are ongoing as well. We want to definitely keep Beck Malastine.
Yarmo, how would you evaluate your goaltender position a couple weeks removed from the season?
I think our goaltending was strong this year. Goaltending position is so scrutinized that you have one bad game and all of a sudden the opinion in this room and outside turns into that the goaltending is not good enough. Their numbers were very good. UPL at 9-10 for the season, that's a very good number in today's league if you look around the save percentages around the league. So we have a lot of faith in the group. I think that we talked to all of them, and the three goalie rotation, they had no objection to it. They liked it. They felt that they had a great relationship. So that's something that right now we're thinking of just doing the same thing, but it's like any position, whether it's D, forward, goaltenders, we're always looking to improve. If there's something that we think that can improve our goaltending, we'll do that. Absolutely. I think Colton Ellis had a great first season in the NHL. He didn't play a lot of games. I think he played 14 games. I'm sure you all remember that one game when he had a shutout. It was stole the game, basically. It was great. That's the potential that we see in him. I think that he's only going to grow. He's very dedicated, hardworking, ambitious young goaltender. So we think he's only going to get better.
Last year.
Yeah, well, I lived in the scouting world for a long time, and it was sort of a celebration for the year that you grinded on the road. So I like that format a lot because I think it rewards the scouts and scouting staff for their hard work, and it's a bit of their show or their game night. So I've always been in favor of that one, but as in any decision, I'll go with the consensus around the league, and right now it is this. And this year we're fortunate that the draft is in Buffalo, so it's going to be great. But I don't think we're going to get any real home court advantage because we're just going to stay in the war room, and it's still not going to be the same show. But again, we have a chance to be around a lot of hockey people here during the draft, which helps and gives us an opportunity to have some productive talks.
What players are doing now with trying to get to unrestricted free agency in different ways, does that change your job a lot? Has your job changed with maybe the way things are going now with players trying to figure out, hey, I'd like to get to this place or that place?
Yeah, you have to adapt. You have to adapt and create new strategies. As we, you know, we're fortunate in a lot of our core players, key players are locked up for a good amount of term. But this happened in the NBA long before it happened in the NHL. So now we just got to find other ways to get around it. And like I said, the core players need to be locked up early enough so that you know where your core is going to be for the next 5, 7, maybe 8 years in some cases. But it's an interesting power move that this is happening right now. And then if you want to make it even more complicated, is with the guys that have the no trade lists, no moves and all that, then they can basically dictate that I'm only going to go to that one team and that's it. And then good luck trying to make a good trade.
Let's take two more for Emerald. You've
got a couple of guys that are walking away here, I guess, in Bo and Tuck. But have you noticed in your talks that there are more players open to the idea of playing in Buffalo when you talk about those no trade lists and things like that?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. We've had a couple of agents tell us and that the players have changed their no-trade list and Buffalo's off of it now. So that's great news for us. I think we can be a destination. Everybody saw the passion in this hockey market last spring and in the playoffs, and it was incredible. So people have taken notice of that, and they also see that we have a really good team. So winning helps. I always say that. So I think those couple things combined, The Buffalo and the Buffalo Sabres are becoming the destination.
What is your draft philosophy? I mean, do you draft by position? Do you draft by best player? What is your philosophy?
Always best player available. The needs can change. By the time they get ready to play, your needs could be completely different. So I think you always go with the best player available.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.